Welcome to Battle Ready. I'm your host, Ricky Chavez. I built the show for people who lead under pressure and who just want practical tools to level up, not just motivationally, but just for themes in life. Today, my guest is Jeff Brandes, CEO, founder of Engaging Webinars, a keynote speaker, and a presentation performance expert who helps leaders turn everyday presentations into moments that, you know, drive decision and revenue. Jeff, I appreciate you being here this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me here today, Ricky. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. So I'm setting context. Why attention matters? Why most presentations lose it? And how, you know, people connect with leadership, credibility, and outcomes based on their presentation. So tell me a little bit about how you ended up bringing out and getting so involved in presentations.
Oh, I started my career actually as an accountant, Ricky, and spent 5 years in the financial world. And I have a good friend of mine, David, who I still talk to today, got me into a support sales role. And I realized quickly that I was doing a lot of the work and the sales guy was making all the money. So it was time for me to transition. And anytime you're in sales, you know, you're doing a presentation. Every conversation is a presentation. And it really became really more pronounced when COVID hit, honestly. And we all went to the virtual world. And the backstory of how Engaging Webinars was actually created or got me going into this world is that everyone was using Zoom, as we all know, and just like we're using Zoom today in most companies. But 97% or most webinars, presentations, conversations over Zoom, they're all the same. And it was like, hi, you know, I'm Jeff. Can you hear me? And can you see my screen? Can I show my slides? You know, the cameras go off and, you know, it's so easy today to pick up the phone or go to Instagram. And it became my mission to go back to how to keep people engaged when you're in a virtual world, or even when you're doing a hybrid presentation, or even if you're in front of an audience. So I was doing presentations for years and years and years, and now I'm still doing presentations, but now it's a mixture of this hybrid Zoom world, and that got me into creating Engaging Webinars.
I don't know if you know my past. I used to be an Army recruiter, right? And in the Army recruiting school, we taught presentations. And I think now this was 30 years ago plus, you know, and the audiences definitely changed consistently, right? And in today's world, I call it the purple squirrel syndrome, right? It's like people cannot keep their attention, you know, on what's going on. And so what you do, I'm assuming, is you help the presenter gain and maintain that attention. Is that right?
Yeah, it's really all about how you actually present yourself in the virtual world. And it's not just about sharing your screen and going to PowerPoint slide for 45 minutes. I mean, people will tune out. And really what we work in is to be able to create a upscale, up-level production, if you would, for the presenter, and to create a more engaging environment for the attendees. An engaged audience will convert at a higher rate, and the message will be received better if they're engaged. So whether you're a leader talking to your team, or you're having a team meeting virtually, or you're doing a webinar to sell a product, it's all about engagement. If people aren't engaged, they'll zone out, tune out, and your conversions will be very low.
So what moment in your career made you realize presentation skill is actually a performance and not a leadership skill?
It came to me when you're really, I mean, hey, I was just like everyone else doing Zoom calls and, you know, watching my numbers go down in the virtual world. And then when I started doing, with all due respect, putting on a little bit more of a show during my presentation, asking more questions, doing some more animations, doing some more polls. And I realized, you know, this presentation needs to be an engaged presentation. And that's where you got to put that show on. It's not just come show up and present and people will buy. It's show up, present, put a little bit of the show on, get them involved with your presentation, and the likelihood that they're going to move forward with you is far greater.
No, as I told you, like we talked earlier, I just said, military recruiter, right? We used to do presentations in the high schools, and 90% of kids didn't want to have anything to do with military. And we get up on a stage, we get in front of, and I used to tell my team, you have to use your imagination to engage the people. What are your thoughts on that?
Even in the audience, when you're in front of people and they don't necessarily know why they're there or what's in it for them, that's the
Yes, what's in
message
it for
in the
me?
beginning that you just talked about. What's in it for them? Why should they listen to you? What value are you going to provide to them? What pain are they experiencing today that you're going to solve? So if you don't kind of get that through in the first, honestly, 3 minutes or at the most 7 minutes, they're gone.
They could be right physically there and gone, huh?
Yes,
How
sir.
unmotivating is that to the presenter when they're looking out into the audience, whether they're on a Zoom person, however you want to look at it, and they see that glassy over eye look, you know?
We've all been there. We've all seen those glassy eyes, and it's deflating. You as a presenter need to focus on the big picture. You can't take, one or two people who are maybe zoned out or tuned out. You really got to find those people who are, looking at you and they're getting it, but you need to still maintain your enthusiasm. You still need to maintain your message. And, no one presents and moves forward 100%. I mean, that's just unrealistic to think you're going to get everyone engaged all the time, no matter who you are. And, but if you're not tracking your results, obviously that's a number that's being missed in corporate America as well, because they're not tracking those metrics. But you still got to maintain your presentation. You need to still go through it, but you need to have a framework that you are going through.
You know, what's the most common looks good on paper presentation mistake that quickly kills trust?
I'm sorry, one more time.
Yeah, what's the most common looks good on paper presentation mistake that quickly or quietly kills trust?
Quickly, it's just to me, it's a death by PowerPoint presentation. You have
Death by
everything done. You
PowerPoint.
you're looking great. You're fantastic. You got rehearsals. Your slides look great. And all you do is just present data and present information, and the trust is probably lost really quick.
Is there a really quick little trick that you can share that might re-engage people that have, went out to the purple squirrel world?
The best trick you can do when you think you're getting those squirrely looks or the dazed looks or you don't think you're doing something, ask a question. Ask a question that gets people to either raise their hands, depending upon what platform they're on, put something into chat, get them involved in your presentation. If you're not doing something to get people engaged, in my mind, within every 3 to 5 minutes at the most, you're risking those glassy eyes.
And if I'm leading a team and my message isn't landing, what's the first thing you want me to diagnose? Structure, energy, audience, or psychology?
Honestly, part of it is really what is the message you're trying to convey, and how did you start your presentation? What was the framework that you built? What's your goal at the end? So is that really one of those? To me, Ricky, it's really looking at what is it that I was trying to accomplish in this speech as a leader? Am I trying to build morale? Am I trying to get more sales? Am I trying to build more teamwork? And those are the things you really got to really evaluate and look back and kind of think about what's in it for the people based upon what I'm talking about, and what problem am I solving that's going to help them. So I think part of what your the answer is, there's a lot of variables that go into that. I don't think it's just one thing versus another. High energy doesn't mean you're going to convert or you're going to have
No, for
success.
sure. No, for sure. You know, one of the things that you keep saying so far that I'm gathering out of this presentation is the WIFM, right? The WIFM. That's the word we used to use in the military, right? When we talk to the people. And I was actually having a conversation yesterday with a new COO of a company, and he says the company's been around forever, and they're imposed to change. They needed to make some changes, and he said, we were talking, and then I can remember. I said, "Hey, have you ever?" I said, "You ever heard of the word WIFM?" A lot of people, I mean, we're older, maybe we know it more. They don't use as much of the acronyms that we did back in the day. But he's like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "Yeah, what's in it for me?" So what is it in it for them to make the changes, right? So that's a very powerful word to get them. What made you really push that?
Because I think really at the end of the day, if you're not understanding what their pain is, so to speak, why are they there? So what's in it for me is how it's going to help me. But then the other aspect of it is how is this conversation, how is this speech is going to make things better for me? So what's that transformation of why we're in attendance today? Why are we being listening to you speak today? If things are going great, hey, that's always great to have an award ceremony and reward everyone. But most of the presentations today is we're going from pain and we're trying to create a vision of how things are going to get better. And if you don't paint that pain and the vision early, that's also a total disconnect.
Got it. So next, I'm going to unpack your core system, the Engage framework, and translate it into a battle-ready approach to influence. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Battle Ready. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. You can download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. If you're on the move, catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. Now, I want to go straight into the playbook. You created an Engage framework system, but before we do that, can we talk a little bit about how can people engage you and get to know you and maybe know more about you and get in touch with these conversations?
Thanks, Ricky, for that. So if people want to learn more about me, they can go to engagingwebinars.com or jeffbrandeis.com. And always happy and to welcome and meet new people. So if you'd like to book a call, just go to speakwithjeff.com and book a call. Let's learn a little bit more about each other, totally complimentary, and see how we could work together and make your presentations, scale them a little bit more to convert higher.
Nice. And you also have a show that's totally, it's on Now Media. Talk about that.
So we have the Authority Playbook, where we invite leaders just like yourself to come on and talk about their journey, what makes them the authority in their field, what differentiates them from others that are doing similar things, and really what they see what's going to happen from a technology perspective as we move forward into the future. So if you'd like to be a guest, Ricky, or others that are listening, you're welcome to contact me there too.
Oh, perfect. That'd be pretty amazing. I know that a lot of people are scared about the direction technology is going. And I've had a lot of technological people on my show. I don't even know if I said that right. But, these guys, man, AI, wow. How do you feel about that? Just off the cuff.
Well, yes, technology is going to be around, and yes, AI has its impact on all of us right now. And as a leader, you should be using a bit of AI in your business. A lot of businesses aren't because they're afraid of it. But those that are actually using it, they should not be dependent upon it to make all the answers, all the decisions for them, because it can't replace feelings, understanding people's gestures or read their faces. Because AI does stand for artificial. So it's not real. It's not going to replace all humans. So at the end of the day, it's definitely has its advantages to help and guide, but it's not the cure-all.
One of the things that I've heard from a couple of my guests, and love to hear what you know, they need to use AI as a force multiplier, something to help them, but not something to take over.
Yeah, I agree. It's something to help them, to guide them, and it will create some of those or awaken some of those blind spots that we all have as entrepreneurs or as leaders or as managers or even as employees, because we don't know it all, but it is a tool that can help guide you, and you should use it as guidance.
I told you, I think, when you said that, one thing comes to mind. So I told you, I have a real estate group in Houston. And, when we talk to potential clients, it seemed like everybody in today's world has a degree in Google, right?
Yes, Google's my best friend. My wife asked me a question. I don't know. Did you ask Google yet?
Right? Okay.
Or I'll
Exactly.
Google it and I'll find you an answer.
Man, I've become very close to Siri, actually. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Siri's been helping me out, thank God. So let's go back to problems were you trying to solve when you built the Engage framework?
So a lot of times when I built a gauge framework to provide a structure to a presentation, to a webinar or to a speech, whatever you want to call it, whatever you're doing. So what the Engage framework stands for, E is to establish the problem. And we started talking about this one in the first segment, is what's the problem that the leader or the presenter is trying to solve for the people in the room? The N is to name the outcome. So what's this transition is going to happen to get them into a better state? And then G is give them a show. And we talked about this also a little bit. Just don't make it a bland, with all due respect, boring presentation with no interaction, just slides. You're there, you're the leader, and give them a good show. Get them interactive. Put some music on, ask some questions. And we have animations that we built also within our program to help bring things to light, to make things easier for the presenter, which is a push button. And then if you're doing a presentation that no one knows you, the A stands for authority. Why should people listen to you? Have you been in the media? Have you been on a podcast? Have you been published? What's your background? What makes you the authority in the field or the space that you're talking about? And then G, the other G is to get people there. Obviously, you're going to do a presentation, you're speaking. We need attendance. So how are you going to get people there? And then the E, which is actually, in my mind, the most difficult part that I see in most presenters. E is to extend the invite, extend the offer. People have a lot of trouble from presenting from where they are today to what the next step should be, what the call to action is. And that's a lot of them end with, "Hey, thanks for being here today." That's not an offer. That's not an invite to move forward. So that's how I built the Engage framework, to provide a structure so the presenters can follow as they move into their presentations.
You know, using your framework and your acronym Engage, do you feel like that helps following that kind of a process will help an individual, stay on track, have their mission, know the mission, and at the end execute. You think that's going to help that?
It definitely does, and this is the framework we teach, and this is the framework we help. I mean, we actually help. We'll build presentations, and we'll help build slides around the Engage framework. And we have the people don't know how to give them a show. We have tools that will help people put on a show, and it's not gimmicky. It's not salesy. It's informative, because in my mind, when you're doing a presentation, there's two things you have to accomplish. One, you definitely want to obviously share why what your features, your benefits, why your product, what makes your company different. But the other aspect that most presenters fail to do is to get information from the audience. Get data from the audience. And that's where the power of, give them a show, when you pull up a poll question and you get their input, or they begin to enter things into chat, and you can display it chat right on screen, and you'd be able to ask multiple choice questions and see the responses right on screen. It guides you as a presenter, and now you're getting data about the people because you're capturing the data.
Say probably it was probably maybe I don't know 6 7 years ago that I was in at a seminar, a real estate seminar in Vegas, and the individual right at the beginning had a code on the thing to told us to download this app on our phone, and that goes into how to do those polls, and everything was popping up, and I was like, I was just so bewildered. It kept me very engaged and everything. I'm like, oh crap, Now you see a little rap, look around you. You don't maybe know anybody there, but all of a sudden you're seeing, wow, so many people think the same as me. Oh man, I'm really off. Or that's pretty engaging. That's awesome. So what's the opening act? Move the hook's attention fastest. Especially with skeptical audience. How do you get that hook in there, the opening act?
The opening act is something I like to call a whiplash. Okay, it's a stat, it's a fact, it's a surprising statistics that people will go, wow, I didn't know that. So for example, I might start one of mine off with 67%. 67% of your audience loses attention within the first 7 minutes. That means 7 out of your 10 people who you are on your webinar are gone. Maybe not physically, but you just lost 70% almost of your attendees. Why? Not because of your attention or your slides. It's that your delivery, you haven't done anything to get them engaged quickly or get them to pay attention to you right off the bat.
You know, I kind of resemble that 70%, right? It's I'm yeah, man, I just it's hard for me to watch another presentation, even my own. I mean, I'm like, you know, I just my mind doesn't stay focused long enough. But there are those very few rare occasions where somebody just wows me, you know, and I'm assuming that's what you're trying to do is help the presenter. Wow, people like me.
That those first 3 minutes of your webinar, your presentation, that's golden. That's where you almost make or break the people from picking this thing up, picking up your phone, or opening another tab to go to Instagram, or turning off the cameras. So you need to hook them, and you need to hook them fast with something that's going to truly get their attention.
Okay, so how do you build authority without sounding scripted or salesy?
It becomes, you need to be genuine at the end of the day. I mean, no offense to used car sales guys, but no one likes to go and feel like they're going to buy a used car. And it's not all about the facts and figures. It's just about, to me, a presentation, is ha it's like having a conversation. You want to get to know the person on the other side. You want to get to know your audience on the other side, and you want to build that rapport. And we've all heard that people will buy from people who they like, know, and trust.
Right.
And, I take a little bit of different philosophy with all due respect. I don't always have to like someone to buy from them. I need to be able to learn from them so I can buy from them. And I don't necessarily need to be best friends. So I need to be able to learn from them. And if I can learn from people and I can trust them and they care about me and my business, and they know they can help me. That's where you're being authentic. You're not being salesy, and that's one of the things I try to be when I meet people for the first time. Is I'm interested in making them successful. I'm interested in having them do better presentations and to increase their conversion rates.
Can tell if you're sincere, right?
Exactly, and that's what people want these days. They don't want to. Buy from somebody, so to speak, and then get handed off to 20 other people or 2 other people to go do the job. Or they don't want to go, buy my program and go watch 20 hours worth of videos, and then you'll join. If you have a problem, email me. They want the personal interaction. They want to be able to, the buying from you, the buying from me, and they want to be able to know that you're going to be there for them when challenges happen. And challenges will happen. It's nature of the beast. So, again, building that trust that you're gonna be there, you care about them and their business, and you're gonna be responsive. That's the end of the day. That's building the rapport. That's what people want.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about rapport when we get back. We'll talk a little bit more about leadership pressure and how it and comes on with the presentation. We'll be right back with Jeff. Hey, welcome back to Battle Ready. I'm here with Jeff and talking a little bit about engagement, rapport, and how to do a presentation and get people engaged. Jeff, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
So we're talking about rapport in the last section. We used to talk about rapport for us was the biggest thing in recruiting, right? We had established rapport. We used to use this thing called Mr. Async. I mean, that's real old school, right? And the first M, I only remember a couple of them. M was mystery, and then the G was gift, and everything in between had things going on. So and your Engage acronym. Would you agree the better you know that, the better your presentation will be?
Yes, and that's why when you build a presentation, if you're following the framework, it will flow. At the end of the day, your presentation, it's like a chapter. It's like a book. I mean, you need to get to chapter one, chapter two, chapter three, chapter four, and chapter five. And that starts out with the story, to get people engaged, get people to read. I mean, if you don't, you open up a book and that first chapter, doesn't interest you, you're not going to read the book. It's no different than your presentation. You have follow a framework and you build a structure around the framework. That's what's going to get you to be have a very successful presentation.
So I remember, and actually I used to teach at an Army recruiting school, and I used to beat these guys up. And back then we could do that kind of stuff, right? About learn the process exactly, perfect, and you can adjust it later. And I used to tell them the key to that is if you get lost, but you know the process, you know where to pick up. If you have no process and you get lost, what do you do? What are your thoughts about that just statement?
People do get lost and they do forget the lines and then they forget where they're at times. Okay. So if you're on a virtual screen like we are today, you can always have a PowerPoint slide that will help structure things. You can always put sticky notes on your monitor to help you remember some of the key things. You can have a Word slide or a Word document in front of you that will help you guide you as well. So there's a lot of little different, tricks or tips you could use in the virtual environment that helps you stay on track. When you're a speaker on a live conference, that could be a different aspect of things, but typically you would have a slide deck. You could have a teleprompter that also helping you along. But having those things to help you, guide you, little tips and tricks, or a little crutch, if you would, is very helpful to always have those handy. And yes, we all like to wing things at times, but we all sometimes need that little extra crutch to fall back on.
Is there one specific tip that you would give somebody that just maybe ease them out at all, ease their mind?
Tip in doing a presentation or
Yeah, and just engaging people, the whole thing,
so
the
to
whole
me,
presentation thing.
it's the tip is A, try to have fun, but B, make it a conversation. Just like you and I are having a conversation. We're talking
Right.
about things, we're exploring new categories, we're exploring new avenues, and we're learning from each other. And if you're doing a presentation, especially if you have a group of new people who you've never met before, have a conversation with them, learn more about them. Cut the barriers down, break through the wall of this virtual world and treat them, meet them, learn more about them, ask them questions, get them involved. That's really the secret, if you want to call it a secret sauce. And that's all what's behind the Engage framework is to break down the barriers and to get people to be more like themselves. It's, no different. You walk into a bar and you see somebody, sitting at the bar, and you might want to strike up a conversation. You never met them, so you come up with something and you ask them a question and you build that rapport.
Okay. I'll tell you this. I can remember my very first presentation. I might have been 23, 24, young Army sergeant going into a high school that was really crazy. And it, I mean, anti-military area in, I'm not gonna say where, but I was like, oh man, because back then my personality was a lot different. I was ready to argue and cut somebody out and just act a fool. And I said, somebody, I told my boss, I said, if somebody, says something wrong, I don't know what I'm going to do. Right. And he said to me, Ricky, I want you to remember one thing. You're not going to mess up. And I said, how do you know that? He said, because they don't know what you're going to say.
Exactly. I
So
agree.
how can you mess up if somebody doesn't know what you're going to say? That kind of relaxed me, that time on. How do you feel about that?
That's totally true. I mean, if you get lost or you forget to say something, no one knows because they don't have no clue what you were going to say anyway. So if you went off script, going back to your earlier comment, that's okay. No one knows that you went off script. I mean, even our conversation today, we kind of went a different path based upon how the conversation went. We're not following a script, we're improvising. Our listeners have really no clue of really what we're going, what I am supposed to say or what you're supposed to ask. So it's all about, don't worry about, just go out and have fun, ask questions, and no one knows what you're supposed to be doing anyway.
So if I get nervous and talk fast, because I do that, right? What's the on-spot reset, to slow down and regain control, you think? What do you use?
I tend to talk fast also at times. I'm from New York, as you might have figured that one out. And most New Yorkers talk a little quicker than most. And it becomes a subconscious thing that I try to slow myself down at times. The other things you can do is just try to change your voice tone at times, just to, get a little softer. So when you get a little softer, you tend to also slow down. And then the other part of this is, if you think you are going quick, again, pause, ask a question. Am I going too fast? Am I speaking too fast to the audience? Are you getting what I'm saying? Or are you, if someone wants me back up and repeat something? Again, just doing some check-in spots with your audience to show that you care. And it also shows that you're cognizant that you might be talking a little quick because you do know yourself. And the other thing is, you typically have an allotted time frame. So check your time, see how you're doing on time to where you want to be. And if you're really cutting yourself, and if you have a half hour and you see you're halfway done with your speech and there's only 10 minutes left, 10 minutes into it, yeah, you need to slow down a lot and begin to ask some other questions.
Man, that's kind of, I know that's a scary thing right there. If you're like, oh man, I'm on slide 10 of 11, and we're like 3 minutes into a 20-minute presentation.
No one will be upset with you if you end 5 minutes early. Okay. They might be upset with you if you end 20 minutes early, especially if they have another speaker coming on or there's another breakout class that's supposed to happen, because now they have,
So
maybe
timing is important.
timing is always important for sure.
So what are three signs I'm losing the room in real time? What do I do in that exact moment?
Three signs you're losing the audience. Well, on Zoom, cameras go off. Okay, that's sign number one. Number two, you're looking at people and you see that they're looking down, they're typing, they're doing something different. They're not looking at you at the end of the day. And the other sign is you ask a question, you ask for some interaction, and no one's responding. So those are signs that you need to kind of really, hey, let me back up here a moment and maybe come back with another whiplash that I said earlier. Because you need to draw them back into the room, okay? Draw them back into looking at you, getting focused on you. So just have more whiplashes ready to give out at any point in time if you need them.
One of the things that I was told me a long time ago is, when I'm in a doing a presentation, I want to engage the audience. Never ask a question. Generally, you actually find target people within the audience to ask, so that everybody at that point is like, "Oh shit, is he going to talk to me? I got to see what's going on." What do you think about that?
I think, there's good points to do that, and there's also some revelations of, you're surprising people, you're putting them on edge, you're asking them a specific question, and that could backfire on you as well, especially if you don't know what they're going to answer and you're not prepared for that answer. That could put you into a very difficult situation.
Interesting. Okay.
I would rather have you ask a general question. For example, hey, a show of hands, how many of you have had this difficulty during the webinar where people were not paying attention to you? Okay, just raise your hands. Okay, great. Okay,
Gotcha.
and I
Good
see that
question.
very often. Okay, so it's a little bit more general, and you're not, no offense, picking on somebody, and you might be surprised that Hey, they might tell you to go F off, if they don't want to talk to you. That's going to really not go well for you.
That's a very good point. I would hate to have an army flashback or something, right?
Yep.
No, that's a great point. That's a great point. How do you create interaction without turning the whole thing into a gimmick? And actually, before you answer that, we're getting on a little bit short, getting ready to go into a quick commercial, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Battle Ready. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. You can download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS, and you can unlock non-stop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. If you're on the move, you can catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. You can see out here as it looks through the website, and you can see what we're doing. I want to land with something clean now. Repeatable systems, not theory. Moves people can run this week. So, in extracting Jeff's best presentation, new revenue habits, I need you to talk to me a little bit of Jeff. And by the way, welcome back. What is the best thing that you can tell somebody when they call you and they're like, I need help with presentations?
I ask about, the first thing I would ask him, what do you think you need help in? Tell me about your experiences. What have you done? Learn more about what they have tried to do. And if conceivable, what I would also offer is you have a recording of one, send it over to me. I'll do what I call a webinar audit. Let me review a live webinar from my perspective. And then at least now we have something to build on. And I have a framework to know what you actually have tried, what you've done, and what the results were. And then, let's take what you built and upscale it. Let's make it better.
Okay. And I want to go back to the last segment real fast and talk a little about, I made that statement about calling somebody out, and asking them a specific question so people will be, kind of on the edge of their seats. And then in return, you share some of your experiences. And I was really, now it's been a while before since I presented in a large group. And in today's world, I could imagine what you're saying would actually happen. How does somebody handle that?
If I got told a few, I said, okay, obviously I picked on the wrong person. So, I'm sorry, sir. Does anyone want to volunteer and answer that question? And just kind of just make a, just
Make a joke
shrug
out
it
of it.
off. You can't, you can't get the defensive and kind of take it personal. You really almost gotta, belittle it, so to speak. Say, I'm sorry I bothered you, sir.
Go back
Apologize
to
for picking
sleep.
on you. So, is there anyone else in the audience that would like to help me out and answer the question for me? I would really appreciate it.
No, I
So,
can only imagine. I mean, I honestly have in my mind, I think I know how I would handle it in a professional manner. But who knows? Who knows? I appreciate that insight. So there are three non-negotiables for presentation that drives action. What are they?
three non-negotiable. One,
Yeah.
in my mind, is the pain to where you're going. So they have a current problem that you want to address. You have a solution of where you want to get them to. And the third one, which is the most often missed, is the invitation, the call to action, the next action step, which is the
Right,
last
bet.
part of it. Everything else goes into the middle. And believe me, the whole framework is important. But if you don't close the presentation with the next, what I like to call next action step, or with an invitation, then don't expect results. I mean, I've seen so many people go, hey, thanks for attending my presentation today. Any questions? Nope. All right. Have a great day. And then they wonder why I made no sales, why they didn't have any conversions, why no one called them. Of course, we never gave them a reason to do something.
Is there a call to action that you found more successful than others?
Yes, and part of it depends upon obviously what your presentation is all
Presenting?
about. So part of the call to action in my mind is having an offer out there that has a limited time frame, So, for example, for the first seven of you that download my PDF, I will provide you a free webinar audit. It's only available for the first seven. So, you action takers, you're going to get the benefit of it. So, you want those action takers, you want to provide them something that is going to be valuable and it has a limited time offer, or in this time, it's a limited offer for a number of people. You can offer them a free PDF, that's fine, but free PDF, okay, I'll get to it. Nothing that's time sensitive to them. So putting a time around a offer enhances the people to move.
Okay. And I'm gonna go off script here a little bit. One of the big things I remember in talking, especially to people that have never really presented before, is their use of filler words like the the ha, the. And do you have a secret for that you could share?
The secret for that really is, it's part of it's just personality, part of it's practice, part of it's just really doing the presentation a few more times and getting used to it, or having a someone that you're practicing with, and if they did the snap a finger, or something that will make them a little bit more cognizant of when they actually do it. One of the most valuable things that they can do as a presenter is watch a replay of your
Right.
own webinar, okay? And listen to yourself. Listen to, did you do ums? How many did you do? Or did you do something different? Did you scratch your head all the time at some point during your webinar? Or something that's, might be distracting or a habit that you don't really want to convey. So do your own review of your own presentation. But really, at the end of the day, with all due respect, you're probably your worst critic of yourself than anyone else will actually tell you.
I had a very aha moment with that like 1,000 years ago. I was teaching presentations in this school, in the military school. We had a grading sheet to kind of go through the process with the individual. It's like a 3-minute presentation. And I would listen to the presentation, the whole class would the guy get up, do the presentation, everybody, I would grade them. And then I'd give them what they call AR, after action review, told them about the presentation. One of the things was I'd say like, "Hey, do you realize in the 3 minutes you said 47 times?" And nobody would believe me. It's like, I had no way. And then so what I did was started filming it. And before I did an AR with them, I gave them the grading sheet and the tape, sent them home with it. The next day, we would do an AR together. They tell me what they saw, I tell them what I saw. And then it was like, it was an aha moment for them. It was more, they were more apt to make changes based on what they saw versus what I told them, which was the same thing that they saw. What are your thoughts on that?
It's when I think when you evaluate yourself, and if you have a coach, and honestly, I think everyone should have a coach, whether you're a leader, a CEO, you speak, someone to bounce ideas off of. Because really, at the end of the day, it's all about getting better at what you do. And if you're not getting feedback from someone, or you're afraid to get feedback from your people, that's also not good for yourself, because feedback is what we get better. I mean, every pro ball player, every ice skater, they all have coaches, everyone managing them. And just because you're a CEO, it doesn't mean that you can't hire a coach for either for speaking or from sales management, or to get better in managing your business, or just another person to speak to talk about ideas if you don't have no one else to do that. So getting those type of feedback from somebody, it's imperative that you do, because at the end of the day, one of my phrases that I like to say, I'm never too old to learn to teach an old dog new tricks. Okay.
Sure.
And you gotta be able to learn, you gotta be able to grow, and you gotta be able to accept feedback, good, bad, or indifferent.
What would you say to somebody, or what would you tell somebody in regards to how they accept feedback? What is there something that you would say, hey, I'm getting ready to give you feedback. Don't take this wrong, or whatever. What would you talk about?
I would ask someone, "Hey, are you open to constructive feedback?"
Gotcha.
So yeah, I'm open to, no, I don't want any constructive feedback. Okay, then I won't share anything with you. And they answered the question up front, and I'm not going to put myself out there and maybe cause a fight or a disagreement by offering something that I felt. It's really, to me, is sometimes instead of always offering the feedback up front, is asking the question, so how do you think that went?
That's perfect. I love that.
Okay.
I had a very bad experience with that.
Yeah,
I was a
it's.
trainer 1,000 years ago, and I used to tell them all the mistakes they made, and so people didn't want to go out with me. You gotta learn from your mistakes, right? And I think that's what you do a great job of. I mean, like, so then I got that question, man. That question was very powerful.
So I think one of the things that I tried to do, which I learned early in my management life, I had a rep bought came to me and said, "Hey Jeff, I have this client, tells me a whole story. What should I do?" And instead of telling him what to do, I said to him, "What would you like to do? What's your resolution?" Bot's response to me was, "Jeff, I never had a manager ever ask me that question before."
It was powerful. I bet you that was a big deal to him.
It was. And I still talk to Bart now, 30 years later. It doesn't work for me anymore, but we became best friends. And I still remember this, and I still remember this story. And he will tell you the same thing. He never had a person or a manager that ask him that question back. It was always, the manager or the leader, do this, go do that. And, you as a leader, you should get the feedback from your people because they might have a better idea than what you have. Believe it or not.
So real fast, Jeff, before you end the show, tell them somebody how they can get a hold of you and talk to you a little bit about presentations.
So you want to talk about presentations, please, book some time on my calendar. Just go with speak to Jeff. Speakwithjeff.com. Sorry, speakwithjeff.com and go to my website that's showing now, engagingwebinars.com, and you can learn more about the Engage framework there. And I would love to have a conversation and see how we can work together to help you convert more and have better presentations.
Thank you, Jeff Brandeis. I like the tools that respect people, and you brought the kind of structure leaders can actually use. I appreciate you spending time with us and helping us with your engaging webinar seminar. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me, Ricky. It's my pleasure.
Guys, I'm Ricky Chavez. This is Battle Ready, only on Now Media Television. If you want to get out there and be heard and be known and be understood, get with Jeff. He'll be there ready to help you get your presentation online. Talk to you soon.